Amen. Mark chapter 11, please. I'm going to share something I've entitled Peace in Believing. Peace in Believing. This Thursday night, we took some time and we began to look at believing. And in a previous teaching, I taught you that the law of believing, as it was taught to us, was not completely correct. I wanted to look at that teaching this morning in Mark chapter 11 and show you why that teaching originated the way it did. In Mark 11, verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find any thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Next day, verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." Your center margin reads, "Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." And from here, we went on and were taught that the law of believing works for saint and sinner alike, because it says, whosoever, whosoever. Now, I taught you that there are only two sources of spiritual power in the world. I also taught you that whenever any spiritual power is manifested, it can only come from these two sources. There is no other choice. It's the end of the discussion, period. There's only two sources of spiritual power. There's only two places that that power can come from. Only two. That means that saint or sinner within himself has no source of power unless it comes from either God or the devil. That's what that means. Okay? So to teach the law of believing and to say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and ignore or not explain this truth, is at best a misleading mistake. Why? Because if I teach you something called the law of believing, and you endeavor to apply this law by talking to a mountain in your life and move it with your own power, you will fail repeatedly because you have no power. Thus, that power is of God or that power is of the devil. And you know what we do when we fail? We say that the Bible is true, so the problem must be with us. And we'll never find what the problem is because you start from the wrong premise in the get-go. And you go by what some have called the law of believing. Mark 11, 22 says, "And Jesus answering said, saith unto them, Have faith in God," or "have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Jesus answering Peter's question, Master, the fig tree which thou cursest has wilted away. And this is Jesus' response. Jesus answering said, have the faith that comes from God. Because clearly a fig tree wilting away backwards overnight is a supernatural manifestation which requires supernatural power. And there's only two sources of supernatural power, and it's either of God or of who? So Jesus, in response to this, says to Peter, have the faith that comes from God. For when you have the faith that comes from God, verily I say unto you, that whosoever that has the faith that comes from God shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Because when you begin to doubt in your heart, the place where believing originates from, your believing will be compromised, shutting down the operation of the power of God in your life. Once you have the faith of God, you must continue to believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say, because it is God's will, and he has empowered you with his faith to accomplish his will according to your obedience and continued believing to carry out his will unto its intended end. If you begin to doubt, this will interrupt your believing, which is necessary for you to complete and fulfill God's will via your command. Now that's a rather lengthy, expanded translation according to common sense. However, that is what Jesus was teaching his disciples that morning. Get the CD so you can listen to it again. That's what he was teaching them. Now, what I don't want to happen is this, because this is not my intention. I do not want to cast stones at Dr. Werwell and discredit his life. I am just clarifying what he didn't have time to finish. I also don't want to discount believing and the great truths and benefits of the correct understanding of believing, because that's very important. So I don't want you to cop an attitude about the law of believing and say, blah, blah, blah. No. And I don't want you to cop an attitude about what we were taught. No. Okay? Because I couldn't stand here today if it wasn't for what we were taught. Doctor didn't live long enough to work out the difference between faith and believing. So when you come from an understanding that you think it's okay to exchange the two words and call faith believing and vice versa, you're going to arrive at the law of believing. I can understand that. Now, Thursday night, we began to discuss believing. Mary Ludwig gave us a very wonderful definition of believing. This is what she said. She said, all believing is submitting to the will of God. And I thought that's a wonderful definition. It's submitting to the will of God. I think it's wonderful because it's simple and it fits with the word. And what you have to understand about definitions is that one definition very seldom will handle all aspects of a word. So you cannot only define believing by submitting to the will of God. That's a good way to look at it. But there are other aspects of believing. See? And believing is very important. And we need to understand this if we're going to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we were discussing the subject, I was reminded of something that I heard taught years earlier. And what I heard was, what I remember being taught, was that believing is an undisturbed state of peace. That's what I remember being taught. So, I can't trust my memory. So what I did was I went into the Word, and I wanted to see if that statement had a biblical foundation. So what I'm looking at now is I want to see if believing is an undisturbed state of peace has a biblical foundation. Go to Romans chapter 15, please. Romans 15. It says, now the God of hope, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in believing. See the word in? It's the Greek preposition en. And it's a primary preposition denoting a fixed position. You're unmovable. You're fixed. It's fixed in a place, time, or a state. A state. It's a relationship of rest. You are in a fixed position of rest. In believing, in believing. So as you continue, continue is the key word, to believe God, as you rest in that, you can manifest the joy and peace that He gives. But you got to remain fixed in believing. This principle works for everything concerning believing. You must rest in. You must be fixed in believing in order to manifest the promises of God in your life to the end. Because you can start out believing a promise of God, and if you don't stay fixed in it, you don't stay rested in it, if you get distracted, if you get pressured off, if you get pleasured off, you're not going to be able to reach the intended end of that promise of God in your life. Now, you know that personally, because a lot of you started out one way real good, and before you know it, you look and you say, how did I get out here? Well, somewhere along the line, you got off course. Your believing went askew. The New International translates verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him. As you trust Him. See, it's not that He won't fill you. It's not that you don't have it. Because you're going to find out that peace is a spirit of fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Spirit of the fruit. That's when I knew it was here, but when it got here, I skipped the gear. But I know what I meant. Hey, the New Living says, I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in Him. See, as you believe. So I understand how they arrived at the statement, peace is an undisturbed state of believing. Now I can see it in the Word. And working from that basis, I asked myself, if believing and peace are related, then by working peace as it regards to believing, as regards to believing, I should be able to learn more about believing. That's what I said to myself. I said, self, if these two are related, if I work this, I should be able to understand more about that. Now, normally, you wouldn't learn about believing going about it this way. Because if you want to learn about believing, normally you would start with the word believing and do a word study. However, no one has ever accused me of being normal. So I chose this approach. And what I began to see was remarkable. Actually, what God had in his word was remarkable. Romans chapter 15. We've been in 15. We're going down to the last verse. And look how he ends the chapter. Now the God of peace be with you what? So he ends the chapter knowing, letting us know that our God is a God of what? He's a God of peace. A God of peace. Look at chapter 14 of the book of Romans. And you know, we're going to go to verse 19. And if we would model our life after this verse, we have a lot less problems in life. Romans 14, 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Okay. Are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Now, I used to have a guy that used to come to my fellowship that was a troublemaker. And every meeting this guy ever went to, he started trouble. Really. We'd be at leaders' meetings, this guy would start trouble. So one time, he started trouble opening his mouth in my house at the time of fellowship or at a class or something I was running. So you know what I did to him? I grabbed him by his throat. I walked him to the door, and I threw him out of my house. And I said, if you ever come here again and start with that crap again, I won't be nice to you next time. Now, you got to understand, that was only after years of admonishment and reproof. But you know what? Sometimes when you're talking to a jackass, you got to hit him with a 2x4. Because he wasn't going to do what he did to my house at every other meeting he ever did. Because that's what his ministry was. He would stand up and start a fight, no matter what. And a wonderful teaching and a wonderful meeting would turn into crap. He was a plant from the devil. That's what he was, to destroy things. I throw him out. Because I don't want a troublemaker. What do you want to be? You want to be a troublemaker? You want to be a peacemaker? You should endeavor to be a peacemaker. You should follow after being a peacemaker. Do those things which result in peace and blessing of people. Do the words out of your mouth bless and build up, or do they destroy people? Well, let us therefore follow after. The words follow after, they mean to seek after eagerly. They mean to earnestly endeavor to acquire. Figuratively, it speaks of one who runs in a race swiftly to reach the goal. Rabbit hair, the hair of hair was what?
Rabbit. Rabbit.
Same thing, turtle. You don't want to be a turtle when you're running in the race. Okay? You just don't meander along the way. You run swiftly in order to obtain the goal. Obtain the goal. Will you place a priority on the things of God to the degree that you would go out of your way to bless or edify someone? That's what that verse is talking about. Follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith you may edify one another. Do you count the church of God, the people of God, the things of God, that important in your life that you'll go out of your way to bless someone? Or does it interrupt your Sunday football or baseball game? Really? Because it's an inconvenience. I want to tell you something. If you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you're going to be inconvenienced. And if you don't like to be inconvenienced, you won't serve. Because you won't come out of your comfort zone. Helping people is going to inconvenience you. Just the way it is. Look at John chapter 14. I'd rather be doing this. I'd rather be doing that. Well, you know, I know that. You don't think Jesus would rather been doing something than hanging on the cross? Verse 27, John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. 14:27. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? Now you got to ask yourself the question. This is what the way I think. Why the warning about the heart? He could have said, lo, I be with you unto the end. He could have said, with God all things are possible. He could have said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He could have said a lot of things, but he didn't. What he said was, peace I give you, my peace unto you. Not as the world giveth, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Romans 10. Romans 10. Why the warning about the heart? So that's what I asked myself. I said, self, why the warning about the heart? Why did he say, don't be afraid? Why did he say the world gives something else other than peace? Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto what?
Righteousness.
See? So now I'm learning that the heart has to do with what?
Believing.
And in order to manifest the peace and joy, according to the Romans, we have to continue to what?
Believe.
And here he said, I'm going to give you peace, my peace. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Because believing comes from the heart. And in order to manifest the peace of God, you have to believe. That's what you're going to see. When your heart is troubled, you will have a hard time believing the promises of God. And you will have a harder time bringing them to pass in your life. Look at Proverbs 4. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's fun to put together. I don't like the puzzles my wife does. Some things scare me. These kind of puzzles I like. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all what?
Diligence.
For out of it are the issues of life. Keep or guard your heart, because out of your heart comes the issues of life. We saw in Romans that man believeth with the what? So if your heart is good, shield it, kept grounded, resting in the word, you'll be able to believe good. Look at John chapter 16. The word and believing the word brings that peace into your life. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have what? in the world. There he goes about the world again, but he goes a little further this time. In the world, you shall have what?
Tribulation.
But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus tells us that the world, pay attention because it's going to make a U-turn. The world is going to cause tribulation in your life. The world is going to cause tribulation in your home. The world is going to cause tribulation in your marriage. You understand? The world is going to cause tribulation in your family. In your family. Now, which one of you Greek scholars knows what the Greek word is for tribulation? Yeah. Philipsis. It's philipsis. And it means it's a pressing together, a compaction, a pressure. The world is going to pressure you. Figuratively, it's an affliction. It's an oppression. It's a distress, or it's straits. The world is going to oppress you. The world's going to put you in dire straits. The world's going to distress you. The world's going to do that. It's going to cause you tribulation. Tribulation. That's how the devil attacks you. He attacks you through the world. Attacks you through the world. If this is true, and I believe it's true because of the accuracy of God's word, then we have found the great truth of God to help us in our daily lives. The world is designed to steal your peace. That's no secret to us who know the Bible. But what many of us don't realize is that when your peace is disturbed, your believing is disturbed. And if your believing is disturbed, you cannot receive all what God wants for you or for somebody else. And how does he disturb your believing? He attacks your believing. You know what he does? He attacks your peace. Because in order to have peace, you have to be in a rested state of believing. You understand? So he doesn't come after your believing. He doesn't say, and challenge you on a Bible question. You know what he does through the world? He causes you pressure. He causes you pain. He distracts you. He tempts you through the world and the things of the world, and it disturbs your peace. You're not settled anymore. How many times have you said this? I'm not peaceful about this. You know what the end result of that is? Disturbed believing. But the end result of disturbed believing is not manifesting the promises of God. And you wonder why you have a hard time. See, he comes in the back door. He attacks your peace. In order to have peace, you've got to be in a rested state of believing. Once your peace is gone, that's an indication that your believing is compromised. See it? It's remarkable. You remember I taught you that you must continue to believe and doubt not in order to manifest the promises of God in your life. It's Mark 11 lesson. Whosoever that has the faith of God shall say unto this mountain such and such, and shall not doubt in his heart. Why did he say that? I ask myself these questions. I drive myself nuts. Why did he say that? He's the Son of God. His words are weighed. They're valuable. Why did he say that? Because he knew that if you begin to doubt in your heart, that the source of believing emanates from the heart. And if you don't believe, then it interrupts the flow and the power of God in your life. Isn't that remarkable? And so take it further. If peace is an undisturbed state of believing, and your peace is disrupted, they're like Siamese twins. You can't touch the one without the other. It's going to affect your believing. It's going to affect your believing. You're not resting anymore knowing that God's just going to take care of it. I'm not talking about being tempted and being challenged and being, I'm talking about starting to doubt, starting to worry, starting to have your peace stolen from you. Because then it affects your believing. And if you're going to manifest the things of God, you got to believe. Believing is not the power to bring it to pass. Believing is not the source of the power. Believing is your part where you place yourself in a submissive position to God's word and you place yourself in a receptive mode that God can bless you. That's what believing is. There's no power in believing. There's a rare, I'm going to believe it. Because if you're going to manifest something spiritual, where's the power got to come from? Only two sources. Argue it all day. It's only two sources. It's that simple. I'm not teaching you something complicated. It's got to come from God or the devil. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, let me ask you a question. Who do you think would benefit immensely by disrupting your peace, therefore disrupting your believing the promises of God? There he is. The evil one. Right? 4:4 says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds that would believe not. Blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's blinded their minds. The result of that is what? They're not able to believe. That's the light of the glorious gospel, such and so. Now, he will continue to use that on you. He'll attack your mind, which is the doorkeeper to your heart, which is where believing emanates from. Is it no wonder that the more we pay attention to the world and the things of the world, the less we manifest the promises of God and the things of God? The more we take heed to the messages from the churches of Satan coming to us through the media, the internet, music, and the like, the churches of Satan, that we manifest less of the abundant life. Do you know why? Because all of the junk that he puts at us has one common message. And there's one common thread that runs through every sermon that comes out of the church of Satan. And you know what that is?
Fear.
Fear. You got it. Fear. And fear is the believer's ultimate enemy. Because the devil knows that if he can disrupt your peace, he can disrupt your believing. Amen?
Yeah.
That's worth a quarter. Isn't that remarkable? Mm-hmm. That's how he does it. He doesn't come at us with the believing. He comes at us with the peace. He steals our peace. And whenever you find yourself in an unpeaceful position, you better check it. Check it. What's the source of that unpeace, unrest? Now, I'm not talking about, this doesn't seem right, and then you got to make a decision and do the will of God. That's godly unrest. You know what I'm saying? It's smart when the dogs are going, I feel unpeaceful about this. Well, you'd be right to feel unpeaceful about this. Especially when the dog's got a bib and a knife and fork in his hand. And it says, beware of dog. That's good unpeace, right? I'm talking about when you get yourself in a state where you start to doubt, you start to worry, you're not peaceful about this, and things just start to weigh on you. He's attacking your peace. He's stealing your peace. And that's an indication that your believing is being attacked. Your believing is being compromised. And if you can't believe, you're not going to manifest the fullness of what God has for you. Does that make sense? See how simple that is? Once the devil feeds you the sandwich of fear. That's not right. Once the devil feeds you the hoagie of fear. Right? Yeah, it's one of them foot long or 2 feet, 3 feet. The hoagie of fear. You begin to doubt and you worry. You see? And once you begin to doubt and worry, he attacks your believing. And that disrupts the fullness of God's promises in your life. It's just, it's that simple. But an indicator, you know, like those little red lights on your cars, an indicator is that you're not peaceful. Because your peace, listen, is tied directly to your heart, which is tied directly to your believing. And if you touch one, you're going to touch the other. It's like a string with three knots on it. Peace, heart, believing. You pull on one, it's going to touch the other. You choose to believe by free will. Okay? You make a choice. God's word I'm talking about. You hear the word, you think about it, you choose. However, you are tricked many times into doubting God's word by listening to the sermons from the churches of Satan. Politics, many of them, sermons from the churches of Satan. Don't care if you like it or not. News stations, all of them. There's not one exempt unless it's a God Channel news. And sermons, they contain sermons from the churches of Satan. Not every day, but they do. Newspapers. What did he teach us 50, 60 years ago? Pick up a newspaper, real positive. Yeah, right, real positive. Death, murder. And that was back then. Do you think it got any better? Has anybody lived long enough in this world where the world has gotten things better? Yeah. Man's answer to the problems of the world. We're in worse shape now. Just take a look at the national debt. That should answer all the questions. We're going to fix this. And what happens? It just gets worse. Just gets worse. Shootings, almost on a monthly timetable. Of children in school. You know why? Don't ever be tricked. Devil spirits. Yep. Devil spirits. Amen. Spirits of murder. Anarchy. Yep. You know why those spirits are able to run rampant in our country? Because of the political agenda that's been fed to our public schools and the hostility towards God overall that political agenda has bred. That's why. That's why. And they'll never figure it out. Never. They are not equipped to figure it out. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually what? They'll never figure it out. They can't figure it out. You know what that means? They're in a fight that they can't win. Yep. Can't do it. So they're doing the best they can. Guess what? The best they can still ends in failure. And as long as they stay hostile to God, it's going to continue to be failure. That's for an extra dime. Yeah. Put it in the horn. My pay for the week, 35 cents. I'm okay with that. Philippians 4. You can't buy a cheeseburger for 35 cents. You can get one for a buck, though. Maybe I get a buck before the end of the teaching. Go to McDonald's and get me a burger. Philippians 4, verse 7. Remember I told you there's a relationship between peace and believing? Look at it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where does believing come from? Yeah, and the mind too. And the peace of God will keep it. Why? Because when you're peaceful, that's an indication that you're believing good. That'll keep you. The peace of God, though, not our stuff. Look at Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and a very important thing, be what? The word rule is the word umpire. You know what an umpire does when he stands at first baseline and the ball gets hit and it gets thrown to first base? And you say, kill the ump? That's because he called your kid out. Kid's 4 years old, the father's on the sideline. Kill the ump. That's a good example to teach the kid. Get that bum out of there. He calls things the way he sees them, right? And he sees a foul, what's he call? A foul. If it's good, it's what? Good. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God umpire in your hearts. If you're not peaceful with it, I'd be paying attention to God. You understand? This is how it works. Did you ever hear that little voice that said, I wouldn't do that if I were you? And then you know what we do if we really want to do it? We go like this. But you know it's wrong. And then on the other side, you got the little devil guy, angel here, devil over here saying, oh, but you're going to feel this, and you're going to be gratified, and it's going to do this. It's going to make me. It's all about you, how it's going to make you feel. And then you got the angel saying, I wouldn't do that if I were you. If you're not peaceful about it, and make sure you understand when I mean peace. I mean, it's not like when you propose. I don't know a guy, you know, many guys are, I'm not peaceful about this. Well, you're just, you know, a little nervous. You got this rope around your neck. Not, don't. He got a mark. He was looking. Look, he's smiling. No, here. What's the word? When you don't confuse peace with being nervous, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody gets nervous. Everybody gets a little. But don't confuse peace with that. Look at 1 Peter. We're going to close here. Chapter 3. So the lesson to take away this morning, so it's practical for you in your life, is this. When you sit down and you contemplate doing something, if you're unpeaceful about it, okay, maybe you shouldn't do it. When you're driving to work, listening to, I don't care who you listen to, and it gets you all excited and all hepped up and all whatever, because they touched your political button, and you're all unpeaceful and you're lost and you're angry and all this other stuff, that's not blessing you. That's not helping you. You understand? That's destroying your peace. That's a bad thing. Because you know what we do then? Then we go and witness for what we heard. And we tell everybody about Russia. And we tell everybody about this political. And we tell everybody about this nuclearness. And we spread the fear. And we spread the sermon from the church of God that we heard instead of spreading the good news. Okay? That's what we should be spreading. Jesus never said to go spread fear. He said to spread my word. The word sets you free. If the word sets you free, that junk's going to put you where? In bondage, in prison. That's what we do. But we get all hepped up. We get all excited. We want everyone to know. Because this is really going to matter at the Bema. Who Trump slept with. Or who Obama did such and such with. Or who Clinton did. That's really going to matter at the Bema, right? Not. It's not. I'm not saying you got to be stupid. But what I'm saying you got to be is prioritize your life. And if you're getting involved in that junk, and that junk is making you nuts, and robbing you of peace, and stealing away the fellowship that you should have with God and with one another, throw it out. Because when it comes time for you to be in a position where you got to believe God for something, guess what? It ain't going to be there. And you wonder why you can't manifest it, because you've been robbed of your peace, indicating that your believing has been disrupted and compromised, and you scratch your head and you say, well, how come this is happening? Because the devil's smart. He came in through the back door. That's why it's happening. But God is smarter. And now you're all smarter because you know it. Which is going to make you dumb if you don't do it. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. Okay, let's qualify. Does anybody here want to die? Come see me if you do. If not, do you love life? Do you like living? Do you want to see good days? I think the Aramaic reads, and good food. I ain't sure. I think it says that, though. Here's the recipe. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do what?
Good.
Let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace and ensue it. Because if you do that, your heart will be rested. You'll be able to believe. And when the things come at you in life, you'll just rest comfortably and quietly, trusting God, knowing that God's going to take care of you. And in the midst of hell, you could be at peace because you're resting and believing. Amen.